Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Tuesday, April 30th, the Church celebrates the feast of Pope St. Pius V. And these are today's headlines. Hamas is considering Israel's offer of a 40-day truce in exchange for the release of hostages. The UN, joined by humanitarian agencies, warns that Sudan is in the midst of the world's worst hunger and displacement crisis. And Pope Francis highlights the formation of seminarians and of religious men and women in his monthly prayer intention. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. In the latest news from the ongoing war between Hamas and Israel, Hamas is exploring Israel's offer of a 40-day truce in exchange for the release of hostages held since the Palestinian group's attack last year. Nathan Morley has the latest.
Earlier, a Hamas delegation left the Egyptian capital Cairo following talks on a possible Gaza ceasefire. Whilst details of the deal remain unknown, it is understood that the outline involves Hamas returning 30 or more vulnerable hostages and Israel releasing Palestinian detainees, supplemented by a pause in fighting for around 40 days. For months, Egypt, Qatar and the United States have been aiming to negotiate a new agreement between Hamas and Israel on a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip and the release of hostages. For his part, the US Secretary of State Anthony Blinken asserted that the truce terms were extraordinarily generous. Earlier, the US President Joe Biden and the Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi discussed the danger of a military intensification in the southern Gaza city of Rafah. The Egyptian presidency said it would add catastrophic dimensions to the worsening humanitarian crisis, as well as its effects on the region's security and stability. The two leaders stressed the need to try and prevent an extension of the conflict and reaffirmed the importance of a two-state solution to achieve security, peace and stability in the region. Relentless Israeli bombardments have devastated the Gaza Strip, flattening much of the territory and bringing people to the brink of famine, whilst threatening to unfurl a wider regional conflict. More than 34,000 people have been killed in the bombardments, mostly women and children. Elsewhere, the United States Central Command has released images of a floating pier being built by the US military off the coast of Gaza, which, once complete, is intended to help deliver much-needed humanitarian aid to the Strip's starving population. Construction of the pier began at sea last week, and the images show crew from several military vessels building the platform. Separately, a satellite image from Planet Labs shows the pier under construction. The Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary, Sabrina Singh, said that the pier will cost the United States around $320 million. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Staying in the Middle East, for the past few years, aid to the Church in Need has been providing solar power to parishes, religious orders, and schools across crisis-stricken Syria and Lebanon. Joseph Tulloch has that story.
Electricity is prohibitively expensive in Syria and Lebanon, and the two countries are in the grip of a crippling financial crisis. State-provided electricity is only available for a few hours every day, and the population is forced to rely on generators, which are often run by mafia-like gangs charging extortionate prices. This naturally has had a deep effect on the church's activities. Parishes and communities are unable to provide services to their faithful. Food storage and heating are limited, and the rising prices are reflected in the cost of hosting groups for retreats or religious gatherings. The phenomenon also has an impact on the church's social activities. Orphanages, nursing homes, schools and kindergartens struggle to operate in the darkness. Food poisoning is rampant due to a lack of refrigeration. For this reason, over the past few years, the Catholic charity Aid to the Church in Need, a pontifical foundation, has approved over 60 projects across Syria and Lebanon, worth more than $1.7 million. The organisation says that a total of 24 religious congregations, 37 parishes, 11 convents, 7 seminaries and novitiates, and 22 schools have or will be benefited by these projects. In Zagata, northern Lebanon, aid to the church in need has been providing solar power to the Mar Antonia School, which is run by the Antonine congregation. One teacher there said that, quote, "The situation is complicated. We are suffering from the crisis, but the presence of solar panels has changed a lot of things, particularly in terms of teaching. We now have electricity for the digital blackboards, and we can teach in better conditions," end quote. A student added that these new solar panels are really going to change our daily lives. They will enable us to understand our lessons better. It's like we're being given the tools to build our future. I'm Joseph Tullock.
Elsewhere, the United Nations and humanitarian agencies are warning that Sudan is in the grip of the world's worst hunger and displacement crisis. The country has been racked by war since mid-April 2023, when fighting erupted between the Sudanese army and the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. Since then, clashes in the capital, Khartoum, have evolved into a full-scale confrontation across the nation, with considerable loss of life on both sides and massive displacement. The people of the country are enduring unbearable suffering, with more than 15,000 people killed and an appalling humanitarian situation. Half the country's population is in need of vital aid, while more than 8.5 million people have been forced to flee their homes. Tali Sadia, CAFOD's country representative in the region, told Vatican Radio the aid agency has launched an emergency appeal to try and stop the humanitarian crisis becoming the worst in living memory.
The situation on ground is really worrying. It has been like this since the crisis started a year ago. Number of people, especially civilians, women and children, elderly people, have been displaced from their homes. They have moved on foot to different locations far away from the United States to seek refuge, to seek safety. And they are basically living in open spaces. They are living in public facilities like schools, because schools are no longer functioning. Some of them are basically living in uncompleted houses amidst lack of clean water, poor hygiene. We have had disease outbreaks, especially cholera, among young children. They don't have food to sustain them. So most of them are basically surviving on small packages that they receive from the communities and from the humanitarian aid agencies. We have also seen the situation whereby a number of gender-based violence is being reported. There are a lot of protection issues also to do with children. And a lot of trauma. We are talking about 7 million people who have been displaced, of which 6.5 are displaced internally across the 18 states of Sudan, and the rest are out of the international borders in the neighboring countries.
Telly, all this is taking place amid a deafening silence. No one seems to be noticing the tragedy unfolding.
That's right. Since crisis started last year, there was a bit of coverage about it by international media and a bit of effort to try and find a solution to get a ceasefire at the start. And later on, it just went quiet and people have been suffering all this while.
That was Tali Sadia, CAFOD's country representative in the region, speaking with Vatican Radio's Linda Bordoni. Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations, reiterated on Wednesday that promoting birth control policies does not help eradicate world poverty and promote development. His remarks came during an event in New York marking the 30th anniversary of the International Conference on Population and Development, which was held in Cairo in 1994. Lisa Zingarini has this report.
Nearly 30 years have passed since the 1994 International Conference on Population and Development, which defined a bold agenda placing people's dignity and rights at the heart of sustainable development. Speaking on Wednesday at an event marking the anniversary, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the Holy See's permanent observer to the UN, noted that though there have been significant advancements in development since the conference, notably with the adoption of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, numerous challenges persist in achieving its 17 goals, especially in the pursuit of the eradication of poverty. In his address, the Vatican Observer lamented that over the past three decades, the implementation of the ambitious program of action adopted in Cairo has become increasingly narrow in focus, with a consequent shift away from addressing development issues. Archbishop Kacha referred specifically to the ongoing emphasis given by the United Nations agencies to birth control policies, including abortion, as a means to stem poverty and promote development. This is not just a harmful misunderstanding of the plan of action, but of development in a wider sense, he said. It also leads to the erosion of respect of the sanctity of human life and the inalienable dignity of the human person. The Vatican Observer therefore once again rejected the notion that population control is the key to sustainable development. Instead, he said, it is essential to guarantee that all men, women and children are afforded the opportunity to actualize their full potential. I am Lisa Zengarini.
And finally this afternoon, Pope Francis has just released his prayer intention for the month of May. This month, the Pope is inviting us to pray for the formation of men and women religious and for the formation of seminarians. In his video message, which can be found on our website, the Holy Father emphasized the ongoing development of their vocations through grace, prayer, community, and witness to the gospel. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
This May, Pope Francis has invited us to address our prayers to the formation of men and women religious and seminarians. In his video announcing his prayer intention for the month of May, Pope Francis recalls that every vocation is a diamond in the rough that needs to be polished, worked, shaped on every side. The Holy Father noted that a good priest, sister or nun must above all else be a man or a woman who is formed, shaped by the Lord's grace. These are people who are aware of their own limitations and who are willing to lead a life of prayer, of dedicated witness to the gospel. The Pope reminds us in his message entrusted to the Pope's worldwide prayer network that beginning in the seminary or novitiate, their preparation must develop integrally in direct contact with the lives of other people. This, the Pope added, is essential. It is very important to note that formation does not end at a certain moment, such as ordination, but rather it continues throughout life, integrating the person intellectually, humanly, effectively, and spiritually. Preparation continues into that of living in a community. Life in a community is so enriching, even though it can be difficult at times, said the Pope. Finally, Pope Francis asked that we pray that men and women religious and seminarians grow in their own vocational journey through human, pastoral, spiritual, and community formation that leads them to be credible witnesses of the gospel. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va. As we mentioned, you can see the video of the Pope's prayer intention for this month on our site. You can also catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Also, don't forget to join us tomorrow morning for live coverage of the Pope's general audience, which begins at 9 a.m. Rome time. Many thanks to our technicians in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.